Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies here today. And turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We'll be there, 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 6 this morning. I just want to share some things that, some wisdom this morning from mothers from the past before we get into the scriptures. And so, anybody know who Christopher Columbus was? Okay, so I'm going to talk about some famous kids that mothers had raised and what they said to them this morning a little bit, and then we'll go right into the message a little bit. So Christopher Columbus's mother said, "I don't care what you discovered, Christopher, you could have written." Michelangelo's mother, "Mikey, can't you paint on the walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling?" Napoleon's mother, "All right, Napoleon, if you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your right hand out to improve it." Goldilocks' mother, "I've got a bill for a broken chair from the Bear family. Do you know anything about it, Goldie?" Then I love this one, Albert Einstein's mother, "Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about your hair? Gel, move something." Then Thomas Edison's mother, "Of course I'm proud that you invented the light bulb, Thomas, but now turn off the light and get to bed." Then Humpty Dumpty's mother, "Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But do you listen to me?" "No." Just some wisdom from mothers. So today we're going to start our series on real life. Real life. This is where most of us live, right? In real life and real motherhood, real ladies, real things. And so today, guys, don't tune me out just because it's Mother's Day, all right? Don't tune me out. Don't take a nap. You know, this is a message for everybody. And so I just want to talk about the next slide. If you see this slide here, just go back there just for a little bit. You'll see a picture of collages, right? And so as you do real life, you take pictures of those special moments. Mother's Day, graduations, your child being born. There's some great pictures in there. Anniversaries, graduations, and all kinds of neat little moments that we kind of treasure in real life. And so today we're just going to honor moms because if you notice, there's like a set of hands all over those places, all those pictures. And so it's the hands of and the heart of women that change the world. You know, I see the work of my wife's hands all over our yard with her planting flowers, all over inside the house with her decorating. And dinner sometimes, and just see the work of her hands all the time. Why do you guys laugh about that? Oh, sometimes is, yeah, I'm being truthful. I cannot lie. I'm in church. I cannot lie. Sometimes there's dinners. You know, sometimes I like making dinner myself, right? And so making stuff for her. And so today we're just going to kind of talk about real life and priorities of real life. Priorities of real life. And so I want to bring up 1 Timothy 6:19. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." But then notice this next phrase, 6:19, Brian, not 6:17, I'm sorry, 6:19. He says, "In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves," tells them to do good and all of these things. He says, "to lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age." Now notice this next phrase, "so that they will take hold of the life that's truly life." What is life all about? The meaning of life. So next Sunday, we'll do a message for our graduates and all these things on the meaning and purpose of life. And the wisdom from Solomon from the book of Ecclesiastes on wisdom of life. And so today we're just going to look at kind of touching on that subject of taking hold of the life that's truly life. And so just like there's five fingers to a hand, we're just going to talk about five things today, the priorities of life for a woman of faith. And so this again applies to men and applies to women. Now, what the difference between men and women, from other studies that I've read, and observed is that sometimes men see things in boxes, right? So they see priority one, priority two, and women just see them all like spaghetti. This is all mixed together. And so we're just going to look at priorities of life, because sometimes busyness of life or hardships in life can throw our priorities out of whack. And once they're out of balance, life can be very challenging or it can become very frustrating. You're like, why is things so hard? Why are things can be difficult? It could be because things are out of balance or out of priority. And so just like your car, when it leans to the left all the time, you got to take it and get what? Readjust to get realigned so it can drive straight, or it'll tear up your tires. It's like if you don't get that adjusted, you're just going to keep driving towards the edge of the road. And so today we're just going to look at priorities. First priority is the spiritual life. Your spiritual life. Revelation 2:4, when Jesus is talking to the church, he says, you have done great and many things. You've endured trials. You've persevered. You've done some amazing things. But church, he goes, you just have something missing, and that's you need to return to your first love. Your first love. So your first love should be your first priority, right? And that's what Jesus was simply saying. So many times we can get busy as a church even as people in life, we get so busy that we forget our first love. Why we're doing what we're doing. And so even Jesus in Mark 12, 29 to 31, this is the final week of his life. And so the teacher of the law asked him this question. He said, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? And Jesus says, the most important one? Well, it's to love God. Verse 30. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love him, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so if you think about that, if the two greatest commandments in the world or in the Bible is those two things, then my first priority ought to be wrapped around those first two priorities, right, that Jesus is saying. It's to love God and to love others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is the greatest and most important virtue. There's faith, there's hope, but he says they can't beat love. Love is the greatest. And he says, if you don't have love, then we gain nothing in that same chapter. Your spiritual life, your love for Christ, your love for the Lord. Notice Luke 10, 41 to 42. And I love this passage because Martha and Mary were having Jesus over, right, for dinner. And they have some squabbles because one's serving and the other one's sitting at Jesus' feet. Remember the story? And Martha's like, Jesus, tell her to help me. Jesus sitting there doing nothing. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. How many of you ladies are there? Worried and upset about many things? Frustrated, anxious, full of fear? And Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Now, was what Martha was doing, she was fixing Jesus a meal. Jesus came over. She was showing hospitality. She got frustrated in the midst of serving. Sometimes we can do that as well. It's like, why aren't other people helping? And here's the thing, we cannot neglect our spiritual life. It's not that Jesus doesn't want us to be hospitable or loving or serving all of those things. No, we cannot neglect what's most important. And that's feeding our soul, our spiritual life. Choosing what's best. Not what just what's good, but what's best in the situation. Your spiritual life also, 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one of us has been given a spiritual gift to serve others. But we can't put serving above our worship. Our worship and our love for Christ is up here versus our serving. This is the overflow. Our serving is the overflow of our love for Christ. Not vice versa. So it's our spiritual life. Then speaking of loving others, then secondly, it's relational love. She loves those around her, her circle of influence. And so ladies, God has placed you at your work, your home, your neighborhood, your family for a reason. And that's to love those around you. Your sisters in Christ, your co-workers, your community. Helping those in need, even stepping out of your circle of influence to touch other people's lives. Notice 1 Timothy 5, verse 9 and 10. Paul is commending a widow here in the church. He says, verse 10, she is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. You're like, well, I'm glad we don't do that no more. Helping those in trouble and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. She's well known for that. Well known. I mean, it's just obvious what she's good at. And there's some amazing ladies who are well known how they love other people in this church. I love that fact. They love their circle of influence. They help their brothers and sisters out in Christ. They love their family, their church family. It's all about relationships, right? A relationship with God, a relationship with other people. We have to love them. Have to love them. Sometimes in relationships, we have to forgive, right? Got to rebuild. Got to restore some things. All those things are very important. Then thirdly, her emotional life. They're like, oh no, he went there. Studies have shown more people are angrier now than they were a year or two ago. Society is getting more and more angrier. It's like, why is that happening? Emotional. Now they're talking about emotional intelligence or emotional IQ. And in regards to how healthy are you emotionally? You can be physically healthy, but emotionally a wreck. Be torn up on the inside. You can be stressed out or perfectly at peace. You can have great joy or you can be short-tempered. It's like, where am I at on this scale? Sometimes there's on your car, there's like an engine light that comes on your dashboard. It's like something's wrong and you have to check that gauge, right? You got to look at the gauge. It's like my engine's running too hot or something like that. Something's going on. And so here's what happens sometimes. We deny our own emotions. I talked to Lydia and she's like, why are you so upset? She goes, I'm not upset. Why are you mad at? I'm not mad. You ever been there, ladies? You ever been there, people? We deny our own emotions sometimes. We don't agree with what the temperature gauge is saying. I don't need an oil change. We don't agree with it sometimes. It's funny, yesterday we were doing some errands and went to McDonald's to get something to eat, and I was just impatient in line. You ever been impatient in line? Waiting for something, and this lady just kept going over and over her menu, and it's like trying to see. Goes, do you agree with what's saying on your screen there of what you ordered? And I mean, just went over like two or three times. I backed the car up, went into the other line. Thank God there's another line at McDonald's now, right? So I backed up, went into the other line, and she ended up getting in front of me anyway. And what it said on her license plate was this. Quit stressing out. God's got this covered. And I said, like, little checkpoint. It's like, okay, what am I really frustrated about? I'm hungry. Didn't have breakfast. It was around 2 o'clock. Just got a little irritable. Needed the Snickers bar, you know, just to calm me down. But emotions. Emotions are real. And we can have what we call below the line emotions or above the line emotions. Things that are negative or are positive emotions, right? So Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the above the line emotion, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, and there's that patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so if I have below the line emotions, there's anger and strife and jealousy and selfish ambition. All these things go below the line, and those are not healthy. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we let Him have control of our emotions. And again, our emotions are the overflow of our spiritual life. If my heart's in love with Christ and other people, my emotions are going to be set. They're going to be at peace. And sometimes we have to remember 10% of life is what happens to us. 90% is how we react to it. 90%. We can't let the emotions get the best of us. But here's the thing. Emotions can affect us physically. We'll talk about our physical life. Now, obviously, the Scriptures don't talk a lot about our physical aspect. It talks more about our spiritual aspect. So in 1 Timothy 4:8, I just want to show you this verse just to prove that point. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy here. He says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And so physical training, exercise is important. Take care of yourself, right? That's what he's simply saying. But don't neglect your spiritual life. Which is more important, your spiritual or your physical? Your spiritual. But don't neglect your physical training either. But the goal is to get you to that spot to where you feel good, right? And here's the thing I want you to think about, ladies, is we need you strong. Now think about this. When God created the world, created man, He looked and He says, you know, something's just not right. Something's missing. Now think about this. This is, to me, is amazing. He created Eve, the very last thing He created, because something's missing in this world. It's not good for man to be alone. It's just, that's not good. It's the only time God said it's not good. Something's missing. The world needs a mom. Needs a strong lady that loves the Lord. So we need you to take care of yourself because you're irreplaceable. Now notice 3 John 2, John's prayer for his friend. He says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Now, this is the Apostle John's prayer for his friend. There's a connection between soul health and your physical health. Is everything okay on the inside? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Then lastly, her missional life. Her missional life. And this is where, you know, we can get, everybody's at different stages, ladies in this room, whether you're single, whether you're a widow, whether you've raised your kids and they're out of the house, or you're taking care of your mom that's in a nursing home. Everybody's at a different place. Everybody's different responsibilities and roles. But I want to just challenge you to think about discovering and being part of something that's bigger than yourself. Widening your circle of influence. Those around you, does anyone need Christ that's around you and your family? I'm sure you pray for them. Do you share the good news with them? Is there a ministry in our city that you're passionate about and getting involved in? Now, 1 Timothy 5 says, devoting yourself to all kinds of good deeds, being rich in good deeds. Taking hold of the life that's truly life. And I think once we grasp how God has gifted us, how He wants to use us, we want to expend ourselves to that, right? Jesus didn't just come and sit down and teach us a bunch of stuff. He went out doing good, invested in people's lives. I want you to think glocally. Think, what's glocal? Local and global at the same time. Jesus says, you know, here's your Judea, here's your Jerusalem. Now think about Judea and Samaria, the most parts of the world, at the same time. Is there a global clause? Now, when you study women and who are starting ministries, there's Christine Kane, who started the ministry to help those in sex trafficking. I mean, she's a mom that's got young kids, and you're like, she has no time. She travels all over the world defending their rights for these women who are in sex trafficking, because she wants to be part of something that's bigger than herself. There's an epidemic going on. There's even local ministry in Indianapolis called Hope Center that's taking in these women. And some of our ladies are wanting to get involved in that. I'm like, yes, go champion that. Go help other women in need, right? It can't just be my little circle. It's got to be broadening that out. Invest your life in amazing ways. There's nothing more beautiful to God than a woman who has her priorities in line, where it's Him first, others second, and herself last. So my challenge to you today, ladies, is to leave a mark. So leave a mark on this world, because you will never be forgotten. Continue to live a life of love, knowing you are loved. The greatest thing we can do is to love others, but we got to know God loves me. Amen? Man, it's an eternal love. It's a sacrificial love. It's an amazing love. It's an unending love. His love never fails. And so if we're loved like that, then we're just a conduit of His love to other people around us. A special prayer this morning for our ladies before we dismiss. Don't forget the pictures there to make some memories back there. You know, I've been very fortunate to be raised in a home like I have been. I've got a wonderful mom, wonderful mother-in-law as well, and wonderful spiritual moms in this church. I'm very thankful to have so many of you in our life. And let's just give our ladies a round of applause this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you so much for the women in our life. Thank you for our mothers. We thank you for our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our aunts. Lord, we thank you for just their blessing upon our life and influence. And Lord, we just pray your blessing over each lady here today. You know their circumstance. You know their situation. And Lord, I pray that you just give them supernatural strength to continue to love and be poured out each and every day to their family, to their kids, to their immediate family, to their surrounding community, to their workplace, whatever it is. Lord, we just pray that you would just use their life as you're already doing to make a difference in this world, to make an impact that's going to leave a mark on eternity. We thank you for their love for children and their love for others. And Lord, just increase that, Lord, we pray. Keep your mighty hand upon them, Lord, to bless them and protect them and encourage them. And Lord, we lift up ladies all over this globe who are being taken and being forced into things that they would never have chosen. The widows who are being taken advantage of, Lord, we lift up those ladies today because we know you are the defender of them. And we ask that you would fight for them. Uphold them, Lord, and strengthen them. And may they find relief and deliverance and help through Christ. So, Father, we thank you for your heart for women all over the world. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.